We want to thank you for joining us again today. We are continuing to look at reflections. We're reflecting on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and a good report, as we read of in Philippians 4 and verse 8. And that verse also tells us things that are virtuous and worthy of praise should be reflected upon. And I'm looking here that we're drawing close to the end of this series. And one of the things that the Bible teaches us that is virtue worthy of reflection is that of joy. An element of the kingdom of God is joy. We see that in Romans 14, verse 17. And according to Galatians 5, and verse 22, joy is a component of the fruit of the Spirit. Many Christians, though, seem to fall short in experiencing such joy. It is often apparent as they go about their daily living. It frequently carries over into our worship. In other words, there's a lack of enthusiasm, and they seem to be just bored to death. So what is joy, and how can Christians be filled with joy? So let's begin this reflection by noting the definition of joy. In the Greek, the word is chara. And Thayer defines this as joy or gladness. Vines adds that it is delight. By one count, the word is used 60 times in the New Testament. The verb is chero, which is often translated to rejoice, and it is used 72 times in the New Testament. And closely related to that is the word charis, which is the word most often translated as grace. Grace, in the objective sense, is that which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard, according to Vine. So joy is gladness that comes from grace. So the relation of joy to grace is that joy is directly proportional to grace that one has received, or at least to the perception of grace that one has received. Receive a small gift and your joy might be minimal. If you receive a large gift, and your reaction of joy is going to be greater. So when Christians don't have much joy in their lives, something is wrong. Billy Sunday says, if you have no joy in your religion, then there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Here is one explanation why Christians may be joyless. William Gurnall says, the reason why so many poor souls have so little heat of joy in their hearts is that they have so little light of gospel knowledge in their mind. The further a soul stands from the light of truth, the further he must needs be from the heat of comfort. The more we understand God's grace, the more we will experience God's joy. Now, the joy of the Lord is abiding. The Lord certainly does not want Christians to be joyless. We see that in John 15 and verse 11. And in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 8, the joy that God gives us is inexpressible and full of glory, and is able to sustain us in the worst of circumstances. Unlike the passing pleasures of sin, which are fleeting, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 25, even the good things in life eventually prove to be vanity or useless. That's what the great preacher tells us in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 and 11. But Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians in chapter 4 and verse 4, and he says, the Lord has made it possible for the Christian to say, rejoice. A failure to remember things graciously given, which make for joy in our lives, can explain why some Christians do not have the degree of joy, that is, gladness or delight, that they should have. But we have every reason to be joyful. We just need to remember that it produces, that we just need to remember that what it is that produces joy. So let's reflect on just a few things that cause joy in the life of a Christian. One of the sources of joy for the Christian is joy is a consequence of faith. So joy comes from having a confident trust or faith in God, Philippians 1 and verse 25. Because faith in God dispels attitudes that prevent joy from developing in our lives, such as worry, doubt, and fear. In the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of it, Jesus tells us in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, in verses 25 through 30, talking about being anxious for things in this life, that we ought not to be anxious or worrying about the stuff in this life. And he concludes that thought by saying in verse 33 that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Now, this emphasizes the role of God's word in producing joy in our lives, because faith comes from the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And true faith produces joy, Romans 15 and verse 13. So the need to read and study the Bible daily is essential for the Christian to have joy in their life, because they must first have faith. But also, a source of joy for the Christian is the result of their obedience. Obedience to the Word of God fosters joy in the hearts of the obedient. Notice the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. In verses 35 through 38, the text tells us that once he understood what he must do, and once he obeyed the gospel by having the chariot to stop and him and Philip going down into the water and baptizing him, the text says he went on his way rejoicing. He had joy because of his obedience to the word of God. Also, the conversion of the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. So conversely, disobedience then dispels joy and produces fear. We see that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. So could lack of joy be an indication of lack of obedience on your part? A third source is that joy is based upon forgiveness. The guilt of sin is a major reason why people lack joy. Awareness of such guilt causes stress, unhappiness, and worry. Paul illustrated this by describing the dilemma of one that was struggling with sin in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 through 24. But where there is forgiveness, there can be joy. Consider David's psalm of confession in Psalm 32. Now, the correlation between forgiveness and joy is also seen in the 51st Psalm, verses 7 through 12. And those in Christ can enjoy forgiveness of sins and the joy that follows. That's what Paul writes about in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, if you have not received forgiveness of your sins, which is found only in Christ, then there's no way to experience the abiding joy that comes from only being in the Lord. Now, a fourth source of joy for the Christian comes from Christian fellowship. It is a joy to see such fellowship. And right now, with this virus pandemic and everything, it's difficult to experience this fellowship of one another, to be able to shake a brother's hand or to hug someone. And Paul experienced joy by witnessing love and fellowship in Philemon, as we read in Philemon in verse 7. He also found great joy in learning of the restoration of his brethren. We see that in the second letter of the Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 7. So how much more joy? The joy of experiencing such fellowship. Paul rejoiced in the fellowship that he had with the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 10. And John spoke of the joy that comes of Christian fellowship when they are reunited, 2 John and verse 12. So my question is, are you developing the kind of Christian fellowship that adds to your joy? Now, a fifth source of joy in the life of a Christian is when a Christian has service, when they are in service to God. There is joy in the spreading of the gospel. When you spread the gospel, Barnabas rejoiced in the conversions of those to Christianity at Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verses 20 through 23. the Christian Jews delighted to hear of the conversion of the Gentiles. In Acts 15, at the Jerusalem discussion there, the Jews were delighted. They were happy to hear of the reports of men like Paul and Barnabas who came back to tell of how the Gentiles had accepted the message of God. There is great joy in seeing the spiritual progress of others. They were a frequent source of joy for Paul. Romans 16, verse 19, Colossians 2, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 9. And John wrote that this was the highest form of joy in 3 John and verse 4. You know, Jesus also spoke of the blessedness or joy of giving to others in Acts 20 and verse 35. Now, those willing to be involved in serving the Lord, whether it be through teaching or the giving of time, giving of energy, or giving of money, will experience joy from that type of service. Now, the wonderful joy of the Lord is open to all who would receive it through such things as we've already talked about, faith in Christ, obedience to the will of God, faithfulness through His blood, fellowship with His disciples, and service in His kingdom. And it is the kind of joy that can sustain us through life. Nehemiah told Israel in chapter 8 and verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So why not begin experiencing this joy today by obeying the gospel of Christ, by receiving the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ, and participate in the fellowship of Christian love as you work toward bringing others to salvation in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, that great sermon there on the day of Pentecost, the response was, "What must we do to be saved?" In verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. There was great joy on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 because of the obedience to God's word. Now it's my prayer that the God of heaven, the God of hope, will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now again, we are not having our services due to this pandemic. We are posting sermons on our website, visual sermons, video sermons, and you can look at those. They are on YouTube videos, and you can find those at our website, churchateastside.com. And you can look me up on Facebook if you have any questions. Give me a call. Holler at me sometime. We would be glad to discuss the Word of God with you. And it's my prayer that everyone is staying safe during this time of trial. Thank you for being with me.